If you enjoyed listening to this story, read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. Morgan, welcome to the Charisma Podcast Studio. I'm excited to hear how God has changed your life. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what God is doing.
Well, first off, thank you for having me. It is an honor and a pleasure and a miracle in and of itself to be here. Just a little bit about me. I love Jesus with all my heart. He's my best friend, and he radically changed my life on April 4th of last year. Mm. And I haven't been the same since, and actually everything about my life has completely flipped over in the best way, and that's even why I'm here right now, because of the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And so
you said your life has been flipped around.
Yeah.
And you love Jesus now. So you didn't love Jesus before? Tell me about what your life was like before.
Yeah, I thought I loved Jesus, but it was like the pseudo-Jesus of the world that isn't actually the real Jesus. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, I always would think to myself, as a only child with a single mother who doesn't know the Lord, mm-hmm. who's like pretty scarred in a sense from my grandma being a Jehovah's Witness, we never talked about God. We never talked about anything existential in that sense. When I had questions like, why is this here? Like, why are we all here? What is the purpose of life? Like, I would have these questions as a young child, but obviously they weren't, questions she could really answer, not knowing Jesus. And, when I was, I forget exactly how old I was, but I think I was around 11 years old, and I really wanted to go to summer camp. Mm-hmm. And I searched all around, and I ended up at this website called Camp Dovewood, which is an all-girls Christian summer camp. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going for 2 weeks the first year, and then I think 3 weeks the next year. And that's kind of when I had my first idea about Jesus. And, going there, it birthed more questions in me. I'm like, I used to think that God controlled people, that, I'm like, I don't understand. Like, why does God make mm-hmm. other people kill people? Like, what? Like, I had these big questions that were not steered in the right direction. And
you had big questions, but you couldn't find the answers.
I couldn't find the answers. I mean, and when I was there for the second year, I ended up getting baptized, which it was a choice. It wasn't mm-hmm. like, they didn't force it on us or anything. And I got baptized. I didn't really know the true meaning of it, but it felt good. It felt mm-hmm. like what I wanted. And as I look back, I realize at that summer camp is when I had my first encounter with God, not at the baptism, but there was a guest speaker one night. And he was kind of going through this exercise where we closed our eyes and we imagined us walking down a path. Mm-hmm. And as we're walking down this path, we were to imagine like obstacles in our lives as these rocks mm-hmm. that we were supposed to just pick up and like place on the side of the path. And I came upon a massive boulder that mm-hmm. there was no going around it. There's no picking it up. And mm-hmm. I was just all of a sudden weeping and sobbing, and I couldn't control myself. And a part of me knew that it had to do with my dad, because mm-hmm. he's never been around in my mm-hmm. life. And so I kind of started to feel this pain that I had been withholding for so long. And he ended up moving on from that exercise, and I was still just uncontrollably weeping. And so the counselor took me to one of the cabins mm-hmm. and she prayed for me. And I remember she was praying for me as I'm buckled over, can't even barely hear her, but I hear her say, "Father, lift the weight off of this girl's shoulders." And then like the breath.
You felt it.
The breath of the Holy Spirit came into me, and I felt physical weight coming off mm-hmm. my shoulders. And she kind of looked at me, and I kind of looked at her like, whoa, like what just happened? Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I look back now, that was my first ever encounter with God. But unfortunately, I went home and I had no support. I had no sure. backing. I had really nothing to lean into or press into that, you know, would sustain me in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, but I always believed. I always believed that God was real. And I was like, okay, I guess it's Jesus, because I was so young and that's all I knew. And then as I grew older, unfortunately, like many things unfolded as I went from middle school, as I went to high school, that I became very lost because, you know, my mom and I were super close, and then she ended up getting into a really abusive relationship, emotionally abusive, mm-hmm. mentally abusive. And it affected her and I's relationship because mm-hmm. I didn't understand at that time why she would even deal with something like that, because my mom is a very strong woman. So one thing led to another, and I started just doing a lot of different drugs, starting with mm-hmm. weed and going into...
How old are you at this time again?
The first time I ever smoked weed was, I think, 14 or 15 okay. years old. Maybe 15, whatever age you start high school at, because that's when I started, mm-hmm. you know, started looking for like comfort in men. So I myself ended up getting into an abusive and toxic mm-hmm. relationship at a very young age. And just like looking to fill in this kind of void that I was experiencing in my home, mm-hmm. Which don't get me wrong. My mom has always been loving, and she's always taken care of me. But, you know, when someone doesn't know the Lord, there's only such a capacity there. 'Cause obviously I was all she had at one point, and she was all I had at one point. But then, you know, you start growing up and things start happening. And mm-hmm. when I started rebelling, things started getting really bad between us emotionally. I mean, there was a point when we pretty much hated each other, which was really difficult for me,
sure.
which led me even deeper into, you know, just putting my friends over everything, putting like substance use and abuse over mm-hmm. everything, and all these different, you know, psychedelic experiences. I felt like I was like really discovering something, because mm-hmm. it kind of pulled me back to when I was a child. I'm like, there's more to this. Like, there's more to this life. And, you know, as I continued to grow up, now, as I said earlier, I moved out of the house a week after I graduated high school to Jacksonville, because I was just really excited to be like, all right, mom, like, I'm gonna make something out of my life. Like, yeah. I'm not gonna believe what you say about me, no matter like what I do or what mistake I made. And I ended up moving to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Then the drug usage intensified. The drive in me to figure out life also intensified, and I started really getting into the rave scene, which is a very new age realm, basically. Yeah. And that's when I started getting into witchcraft without knowing I was getting into witchcraft. Wow. Because it's disguised. It's,
sure.
You know, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. And so I started thinking that I was discovering myself. And in these really low points, I would pray, but not necessarily to Jesus, because I started doing all kinds of spiritual things. I started, you know, meditating. I started getting into doing chakra work. I started doing tarot cards. I started doing like crystal, you know, work, like aura readings, all these different things, trying to like feel something, trying to like figure out life. And the whole time I'm thinking that I'm really doing something, you know, because there would be these moments of happiness and you know, unexplainable things happening, especially when it came to my drug use in that world. And So I felt like I was really on to something. And meanwhile, I'm still back and forth between the same abusive relationship I had started as a freshman, which was so off and on, which, you know, led me down a really promiscuous path with other men and a very lustful lifestyle, especially in the rave scene. Like, the whole message is peace, love, unity, respect, do whatever you want, be whatever you want, as long as you're quote-unquote not hurting anybody. But it's just a lie from the pit. And I was like, I was fully feeding into it. So after 2 years, I had hit rock bottom pretty much, just in friendships that had crumbled, not doing well in school at all, flunking out of a whole entire semester.
Oh, no.
Pretty much just like trying to hold it together as best as I could, but basically running back to my mom's arms. Like,
sure, you
were right. Like, I can't do anything without you, because I definitely used my mom as a crutch in a lot of ways. And so I come back to Orlando. I actually still am in the same lifestyle. I'm still partying, drinking, till I would go till 7 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't sleep sometimes.
Oh my goodness.
I would go to work literally without sleep. I was bad.
Wow.
And
how were you functioning?
I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't. And that's basically how it was. I thought I was doing so good. Mm-hmm. I would put on a front and a face to make it seem like I was doing good. And you know, there were moments of momentary pleasure and happiness that I would lean upon and be like, I am happy. Like,
yeah.
But deep down, when I was in my room by myself, I would cry myself to sleep sometimes, because I just felt so unsatisfied. I felt so unfulfilled. I felt just really like hopeless and alone a lot at times.
Yeah.
And so fast forward about a year into me being home, things got even worse, which I didn't think was possible, but
there's a place below rock bottom is what
there
you're
is
to say.
A place below rock bottom, because not only did I started involving myself with a couple, so now I'm dating two people at once,
because
I'm just trying to latch on to anybody that will love me at this point. And I had went actually one time down to Miami for a music festival thing. And none of my friends wanted to go on Thursday night, because we had planned Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because no one wanted to see this group that I wanted to see. So I decided to go by myself. And when I went that night, it was like a warehouse party type of deal. And when I went, I was already on drugs myself. And I actually ended up getting drugged to the point where I had an out-of-body experience that I cannot explain with words to this day. I ended up waking up in the hospital, like, very confused. And the nurse basically came in and was like, yeah, you overdosed. I'm like, how did I overdose? Like, I didn't even take anything else besides what I knew I had taken. And when she showed me the sheet, I had a lethal dose of fentanyl in my system, along with, like, a laundry list of multiple other drugs.
Wow.
But, you know.
So it's a miracle that you're alive.
It's
at this point.
Miracle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Man, if I could even try to explain with words, that's a whole other interview.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so yes, there is a place deeper than rock bottom, because now I'm just like, now I felt even more like, wow, I was in this super dark place. And after that, I started having extremely horrible nightmares and night terrors. And I was aware of the spiritual so much more after that.
Yeah.
And so I tried to cling even more to all this spiritual stuff I was doing to make sense of what's happening and why I'm even alive and all of this stuff. And flash forward, after just being terrorized, like, in the night. Sometimes I'd wake up screaming. I'd literally drive to my mom's house to go sleep in her room because I was just so scared to be alone. Because I've lived by myself for the past about 5 years now. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point when I was just like, all right, I can't keep doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't doing good for me. So I started to try to dig myself out of this hole. I did it by taking on a more holistic view of life. I became vegan.
Okay.
I started doing yoga, which I felt like was really helping my body in the physical and in the spiritual too. And so I was basically starting to do things for my life. Like, I opened a business around vegan food. I started a market pop-up, which was called Namaste Plant-Based Eatery. And I had planned to be a yoga instructor.
Okay.
So I was going to tie those two in together. Mm-hmm. And, I was kind of doing a little bit better, even though I would have these pitfalls and whatnot. So fast forward to a little over a year ago, I started seeking the Lord without realizing I was seeking the Lord.
What do you mean by that?
So I met some friends who I actually became business partners with. So
with the vegan food company?
No, it was a totally separate thing.
I
really was like, since COVID happened, I wasn't doing anything with my life. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get up and do something. Mm-hmm. So I started going into the vegan business. I became like a brand ambassador for my new friends that I met. Mm-hmm. I started modeling. I started doing like all these things to really feel like I'm doing something with my life. And when I say I was seeking the Lord without realizing it, when I met these friends, we would hang out every night pretty much after we met. And we would watch these videos on YouTube called Truth Unedited, which he has a series called The History of Religion. And I'm like, and as we watched it from the beginning, he essentially breaks down where all of these religions came from and the origin of, you know, how it all started, essentially. And it was answering these questions that I've had for so long. I'm like, whoa, like, that it makes sense. Like, this really makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, but there was so much mixture in even me doing it, because we would sit there and be getting high watching these videos. And
okay.
He's like, the only way to true life is Jesus. And, you know, his message was Jesus ultimately, as he's giving the history of religion. And so, you know, I started like kind of leaning more into it because it felt right. Like, it felt good. It felt right. Even though sometimes I would be meditating and have Buddha in mind and think about all these different, you know, gods. And at one point, I really did believe in myself as my own God, because, excuse me, the New Age religion basically, that's the purpose of it, to exalt yourself and to, and having you believe this nonsense that you are the creator of your own reality. And I thought back to when I was a kid, and I'm like, how is it fair that me, a privileged white girl who was born and raised in Florida, went to a Christian summer camp and just decided off of this one experience that Jesus is God? So I really wanted to give all these other religions a shot, because I didn't know. But when I started learning more about who Jesus was in his life, it just sparked something in me. And so then I would start reading the Bible app every so often. Mm-hmm. And there's this one day.
I want to hear about this one day. Yeah.
There's this one day
that
I, my friend and I, we were doing a fast, because I did spiritual things like that.
I was
fasting, but it wasn't like unto the Lord. And we had finished a 3-day fast, because I couldn't get high anymore. I'm like, I need to like do something, because I can't.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we finished the fast and we're like, we're going to go to the beach. You know, we're just going to enjoy our day. Truth be told, I bought like a lot of weed, because I was really excited to go get high on the beach with my friend and, you know, just celebrate that we just did this. And on the way to the beach, we read in the Bible app. And the verse of the day said, submit yourselves unto God, mm-hmm. resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yeah. And then, you know, how after it has a story and a mm-hmm. devotional. We mm-hmm. read through, and the very last line of the devotional said, I challenge you to get rid of something that the Lord never said you needed. And so my friend, she's like, you know what? I'm going to give up smoking weed. Like, I want to see who I am without it. I really like how I've been feeling. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it up. And I was like, yeah, no, like, that's good. I'm so happy for you. But me, no, because I was really, really bad.
You were fasting the weed as well. Like, you weren't smoking during the
I wasn't smoking weed. Yeah. I wasn't.
How long was that?
It was just 3 days.
It was just 3 days. Okay.
Just 3 days. Okay. As long as I could take it. But I would like to fast because I would like to cleanse myself.
Sure, sure.
I was in the whole cleansing my own body, my mm-hmm. own mind, my own spirit, that type of thing. So we get to the beach and I'm kind of like, ugh. Like, I was so excited to get high on the beach with my friend, and now she's not going to smoke, so I don't want to, like, just smoke in front of her type of thing. And we parked off of the beach. So I never brought the bag that had all the weed because mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not just going to do this by myself and whatever. I just decided in my mind that I was going to wait till I get home. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because I wanted to be respectful. And so we ended up just actually having so much fun at the beach that I never really thought twice about it. And then I dropped her off. I went home, and the first thing I went for was the bag inside one of my bags, and it was gone. Like, it wasn't there. And I'm like, huh, this is strange. And even in the world, I was a very organized person, so the fact that it wasn't there was puzzling to me because I knew she wouldn't have taken it because she just decided she was, you know, so it just wasn't adding up. And then I basically spent like an hour to 2 hours tearing apart my car, tearing apart my condo, like, at this point, angry and frustrated because I couldn't find it. And so I basically got fed up, and I was tired because I was at the beach all day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. So I actually went to my room, and in the corner of my room, I used to have an entire section of my room dedicated to smoking weed. I had all the paraphernalia, all of the different things, and I had a rolling tray that basically had crumbs, like crumbs on it. And I was just such a fiend for it. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to scrape up what I can and take a bowl hit and go to sleep. And so when I did, the moment that the smoke hit my lungs, like hit my mouth really, I started to see into the spirit. And I could see demons all around me.
Wow.
Like, trying to possess me. I felt every horrible thing you could feel in a person at once. Like, I felt delirious. I felt anxiety. I felt, like, death itself upon me. And I was terrified. Like, more than I could even explain in words. And all I could think to do was just get on my knees and just cry. Just cry out to God. Like, not even Jesus, just cry out to God, like, help me, help me. And when I did, he came, Jesus came, and he was so sweet. He didn't have to announce himself. He just came, and he said, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's about to change. And he started listing out to me all the things that were about to change. He told me, he said, you're not going to drink anymore. You're not going to smoke anymore. You're not going to curse anymore. You're not going to do witchcraft anymore. You're not going to like girls anymore. And I'm like, witchcraft? I'm doing witchcraft. I'm like, what? Like, the power of God hit me so hard. Now I'm on my floor trembling. I've never experienced the touch of God like this. And now I'm like just completely just in awe because the Lord is here. He's talking to me. It's Jesus. And I was just like, what do I do? He was like, go to your Bible. And I went to my Bible, the same one that I brought to summer camp when I was a little girl. And I opened it, and I'm just screaming these verses out loud. I'm screaming them with everything I have in me, and I can see these demonic presences fleeing from parts of my room, like out of the crystals that I had, and completely fleeing. And I'm like, I'm trying to breathe. I calm myself down and do like my yoga breathing techniques, and that's not doing anything. I truly felt like the only reason I could even breathe was because I was reading the Word of God. And this is so crazy. The as I'm reading, he says to me, "Watch, once you get rid of everything, how much higher I can take you." Mm. And I'm like, "You can get me high?" Like, you know, because in my mind, I'm this girl who's obsessed with getting high on anything.
Yeah.
And he's telling me he's gonna get me higher. You know, it just was, the language was just so like, and so I just knew that this is what I've been looking for my whole life. And the next morning I woke up and I was different. I was completely changed. There was not even any desire to smoke, to drink, to curse, to all the things that he said. Gone. I didn't feel like me anymore. Like even trying to think about those things, like, repulsed me, like, made me physically sick to even think about. And I was like, whoa. And he was still there the next morning, and it was time to clean house. And he also gifted me with discernment on what was his voice and what was my flesh and what was the enemy. And, you know, I'm going through my whole house like, oh, we got to get rid of everything, Jesus. And he's just leading me up to something, and I would pick it up. And he would so sweet, so gently, not condemning at all. He's like, get rid of it. And then I would hear like almost my voice in the back, like, girl, you spent a lot of money on that. Like, you got that when you were in, you know, Paris or whatever, whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I could literally see the difference. And I'm like, oh no, I can't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So as I'm going through my whole house, I'm cleaning out everything, Buddha statues, different demonic symbols, and all my bongs and rigs and all my crystals, all my, you know, tarot cards, everything. Like, I'm like getting rid of it all. And he leads me all the way upstairs into my closet, and I had 3 laundry baskets because they're color coded. Because remember, I was a very organized person. I still am. And he says, look in the middle basket underneath all of the clothes. And when I did that, my weed bag was there.
Wow. The thing that you were looking for that kind of initiated this whole...
In my mind, that in and of itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
There is no way it ever would have been in there. I would have brought my weed before I brought my towel to the beach.
Yeah.
Like, I was that crazy.
Now, how big of a bag was this?
I mean, it's probably about, like, sandwich bag size.
So it's not something small, like a little...
No. It wasn't by itself. I had, like, a kit. You know, I had all the things.
Yeah.
And when I grabbed it, I was like, oh, I flung it. I was like, get it away from me. Like,
wow.
And it was just like, whoa. It was crazy.
So
and
this is the next day.
This is the next morning.
Wow.
Yes. So... I take all this stuff. I mean, I had a huge box of stuff that felt like my life. And I took it to the dumpster. And I'm there in front of the dumpster, and I'm launching this stuff into the dumpster. And I can feel, like, physical shackles coming off of my body.
Wow.
And at that point, I knew. I was like, this is it. And I am just travailing in front of the dumpster, like, Jesus, okay, have everything, like, have it all. And, you know, there's, like, cars lined up, and I'm just like, Jesus, like, in front of the dumpster.
Wow.
And I didn't even care. And when I got back into my car, I'm like, well, what now? What do I do now? And he spoke to me. He said, call Jesus Image. You're going to get baptized there this Sunday.
Like, oh, wow.
Okay. So the small backstory with that is the fact that...
And Jesus Image is a church in Orlando.
Jesus Image, is the church that I go to now. And actually, about 2 years ago, I had a friend in the rave scene who went very similar testimony mm-hmm. to me, and he did massage therapy. And one day I saw his Instagram, and it went like, it changed from, mm-hmm. I don't even know what, to Mr. Living for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, that's cool. Like, Jesus is cool, but that's a lot. Mm-hmm. So I went over there and got a massage. And when I came to the house, which used to be like the party house, get together mm-hmm. house, it turned from that to he had like duct tape crosses on his door and like scripture written all over his mirror. Wow. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, it seemed like much, you mm-hmm, know? Mm-hmm. And he actually planted a beautiful seed in me. He said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes mm-hmm. to the Father except through him. And that scripture would ring in my spirit so often. I'm like, the only way? Like, the mm-hmm. only way? And he actually invited me to go to Jesus Image that mm-hmm. week. And I went. You know, because I was into doing stuff like that. I would go to the church.
Thing.
I would go, yeah. And so when I went, actually, Michael Koulianos, mm-hmm. my pastor mm-hmm. now, he did the altar call, and I raised my hand, kind of not really knowing. But, you know, I went up there, and I literally, as I'm at the altar, Michael's like, you have to be willing to give everything to Jesus. And now looking back on it, I know it was the voice of a demon. I hear this other voice like, oh, but you're not going to stop smoking. You're not going to stop smoking weed. And I'm like, I was so torn, but it was the second most profound experience I had with God. And they used to take you back after the altar call and kind of pray with you, give you a Bible, give mm-hmm. you what you, you know, talk to you. And when I went back after, they gave me, I didn't take the Bible because I already had one, mm-hmm. but they gave me the Jesus book, which, I never intended on reading, mm-hmm. ever, because mm-hmm. I hated reading. And now, fast forward, just remember that.
Yeah.
I call that day, and they're like, we are doing baptisms this Sunday, mm-hmm. which my church only does, like, once every month, every other month. And they were doing it that Sunday, and I'm like, wow, this has to be, like, this is really God. And then they were like, but we're full. And I'm like, oh, but Jesus said I was getting baptized here. And then they ended up calling me the next day, leaving me a message and saying that they were opening up a spot for me. Wow. And I went, and I still had so many questions, mm-hmm. but I actually, the very next week, was supposed to start yoga instructor training. Mm-hmm. And so I asked in my heart before I went, I said, God, you didn't say anything about yoga. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not supposed to do it, can you just like flat out tell me kind of mm-hmm. like how you've done with all these other things?
Yeah.
So immediately after I got baptized, a girl who was in the school, who is in the school, she came up to me in the group I was in. And she asked the guy who I had brought, she said, do you do yoga? And I was like, no, but I do. And then she started giving me flat out all mm-hmm. the reasons why you're not supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward to now, I mean, it's just been like that, an unraveling of mm-hmm. all the things I used to know and used to full on believe and was heading straight into to the Lord, giving me straight on, you know, scripture and reasoning mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. behind why it was all a lie.
Yeah.
And fast forward to now,
you've had a major turnaround, and now you're heading to the Jesus
now
school,
I'm
which
going
is really
to
cool.
Jesus school. And you know what's so beautiful? Our summer reading is the Jesus book. The book that I sat on my shelf for 2 years that
You have to read it.
I read it,
read it,
and the first
good.
Page, I cried my eyes out, you know, at that book and the Holy Spirit book. But
yeah.
either way, I mean, God really just is using every bit of my life for His glory, in addition to the fact that I'm also going to be in House of Bethany, which mm-hmm. I used to dance. I was a professional dancer in the world as well. And now I'm going to be in the House of Bethany for dance, which He's using even that talent that He gave me for His glory.
That's so cool.
It's a lot. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's an incredible story of what God has done in your life and is in the process of doing and giving you, you know, a real hope and a future, and just His plans for you are really good. And thank you so much for sharing how God has worked this miracle through this encounter with him and how God has really changed your life. And it's wonderful that you met some of our people here and got us connected. And now I know that as you're sharing your story and people are listening to this, they're going to be encouraged to walk further with the Lord. And maybe a family member has been far away from the Lord, that if God did it for you, he can do it for them too. So thank you so much for being here on the Charisma News Podcast.